Welcome to the Assemblée Dance Studio podcast, your go-to source for bite-sized lessons in growing and running your dance studio. I'm your host, Claire O'Shea, and I'm a dance studio owner and business coach, helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. Do you love the podcast content but are looking to get a bit more one-on-one strategy? If that is the case, I really encourage you to check out our monthly masterclasses. Each month, I dive into a specific topic that is going to help you and your dance studio reach the next level. So if you're interested in finding more about that, head to assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Again, each month is a specific topic catered to you and your dance studio, all about how to grow and create a bigger, more successful, just more streamlined dance studio. And if that's something you're interested in, you can buy a one-off masterclass. So if you can sort of pick and choose to what topics suit your interest, or alternatively, you can sign up for our membership to our masterclass, which is a discounted monthly price. So whatever you are interested in joining us for, you can check that out at assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of my episodes released weekly. Hey guys, it's Claire O'Shea here, and welcome back to another episode of the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast. Today's episode is part two of our concert planning and our first steps of concert planning series. Last week we did a part one, and we touched on the vision, the timeline, costumes, concert running order, and staging and lighting. So if you're interested in hearing more about that, jump back one episode. And in today's episode, we are going into part two of the concert planning series, which is focused more on communication and marketing and a few other little bits and bobs. So if you're interested in figuring out how to have the most streamlined, the most stress-free concert or recital season ever, be sure to listen to today's episode, which is part two on our first steps to concert planning series. So joining me today, as always, is the lovely Mariah.
Hi.
And last week we touched on, like I mentioned in the intro, all things vision, timeline, systems, costumes. Did you sort of have one key takeaway from last week's episode?
I would probably say timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really important factor to start.
Yeah.
So I think that's one that everyone should think about.
But we went quite a bit more into detail about that last week. So if that is something that you really need to go over, be sure to jump back to last week's episode. And again, I'll remind you that we are having a masterclass all about this. And even though we are sharing a lot of info on the pod, it's really a very small amount in comparison to what we go into on the masterclasses. We share templates, behind the scenes, exact sort of step-by-step guides. We sort of do Q&As. There's sort of a lot more involved. So if you're interested in joining us for our September 5th masterclass, all about concert and recital planning, just head to our website, assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. So let's jump into today's part two info. And the first point I want to touch on is prioritizing communication. And this is something that we go back and forth on every single year. What is too much? What is not enough? And we still don't have the right formula we still get feedback, so we don't have the right formula. That's not true. Not everyone's going to consume info in the right way, but you've but you've got to do what works for you and your business. But I want to remind you guys and sort of stress the importance of establishing effective communication channels with dancers, parents, as well as your team members.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge one. And keep everyone informed about important updates, schedules, and expectations. So something that we have done for years now is our go-to guide, and that's literally what we call it because you go to it for the information. And that is broken down into different locations and age groups. So we try and distill like the relevant information down for like a smaller group of people versus entire studio, many locations. Yeah. But, you know, according to some parents, we should still do an individual one, but unfortunately that's not possible. So, you know, trying to just streamline it a bit more, we find is because again, a massive priority and value of ours is helping busy parents.
Yes.
And I'm so mindful of the fact that they don't want to spend their Friday, Saturday nights reading a 80-page guide. Yeah. But the problem is with the guide is like a lot of information is like not relevant for their child, but it's the only way that we can communicate it.
Yeah.
So I guess educating them on the best way to use the guide.
Yeah.
Search function. Incredible. That's what we try and say.
Yeah.
So this go-to guide is essentially a Google Doc that's locked and we share that link on Facebook, on Instagram, on email, on every bottom of every email, on every newsletter. We're going to actually like literally, it's sort of embarrassing. This year we are doing like a gigantic poster that we are going to stick to the glass door.
Yeah.
So when people go, of the entry. Oh, I didn't see that. How did you not see it? Because you literally walk past it every day.
Yeah.
So so we're going to up the ante and see if that helps. Only because like, again, like even though I get frustrated when I hear that, like I know that I'm going to be that parent and I hate that about myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mariah knows. Mariah will never be that parent.
I don't know. I'm not a parent.
No, yet. I know. But like you just know what you like with info.
Yeah.
But I try not to be. And I will never blame someone else for my shortcomings.
Yeah. And this go-to guide is a working document. So no matter how many times they
click on it,
it's ever changing. So the info could be updated. They just keep going there for updated information. And we're sort of toying with the idea of doing like a concert email per fortnight. We haven't really established it yet, but we sort of
be like, this is where we're up to. Have you read your guide?
We just found that we had a lot of like emails that needed to go out during concert time and we're just trying to work out the best way to streamline that and keep it all, you know, very to the point.
And like, again, we have had feedback in previous years that we sent too many emails and I totally appreciated that and potentially agreed.
Yeah.
So we switched to a monthly newsletter
form
and we now are getting people's, oh, I didn't see that. It's like, it's been on three newsletters.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a bummer. But again, you're never going to find the perfect solution. But it's just something to keep in mind. Moving on to my next point.
Yes.
We've got to keep things going. Yes. Is to promote and market the concert as an event because it's not just something that you could sell tickets for in-house. It could be something that's interested by like the local community, like, you know, family, friends or things that potentially might not have thought to go to it will see it and potentially want to come and join along. Or it's like a great night of entertainment depending if the theme is attractive to somebody else. So promoting and marketing the concert. So developing, again, a comprehensive marketing plan to generate excitement and attract an audience to the concert. So you want to do this with the people that are like at the studio, of course. And obviously the main people who are going to be attending your show are parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, et cetera. That's of course.
Yeah.
But there's nothing stopping you from widening that net and making it an event, a must go to event for the local community as well. My next point is paying attention to the details. And this kind of probably loops back to part one when we talked about having a really accurate timeline and a really kind of clear timeline. It will help you stay on track. So taking care of smaller but significant aspects such as program design, ticket sales and distribution, make sure it's virtual. Backstage organization is something I think that people underestimate and I think is the one of the most important aspects to ensuring a really smooth flowing show from the front. And volunteer coordination. People are often happy to help if they know how to or how to go about it. So keeping them up to date is really important. And again, these details all together can contribute to a professional and polished overall experience. And that even could come to like having your theme, like making it an experience as soon as you walk through the door. So I did an interview recently with Kim Degenhart from Bomb Funk Dance Studio. And I was obsessed with knowing about, she has her own theater in her studio now, which is like just hashtag goals. Sometimes she still has to hire other events and she is like the events queen. And one of the strategies that she said and something we try and embody is making the experience like as soon as they walk through the door. So whether it be like a red carpet or a photo wall or whatever it is, just trying to immerse people in the experience pretty much immediately to kind of get them in the vibe. And my last point and something that I don't think we do maybe enough or effectively is reflect and evaluate in a really like strategic way. Now, people often, sadly, are going to be more vocal if there's something that they're displeased with. And obviously you need to address that. And sometimes some of those things, and in the past, like we've had a couple of things that happened at our concert, which was 100% our fault. And you have to take, you have to take responsibility when it is something that shouldn't have happened or something that should be done better next time. And what we've learned from that. But often sometimes there's things that you're like, well, that is just a ridiculous piece of feedback. And it's not even, there's nothing to learn from it. So just ignore that. But after the concert or recital, take time to reflect on the event. Even if you haven't been given feedback, or gather feedback from, your team, or even then if you haven't got enough feedback, ask those trusted around you what they think. Like, you're not fishing for compliments, you're actually asking for strategic, like, how did it work from the front? Like, for say, like, often I'm stuck maybe talking to backstage people or lighting people while we're running the front of house, and so getting feedback on how that worked smoothly or updating that is really important to me. And even asking audience members, like, I don't know, maybe have a feedback box, or, you know, share with us on socials, like depending what the way you want to get feedback. And then identify areas of improvement and celebrate the successes. So I feel like we're always wanting to improve and wanting to identify that. I don't know about you guys, but taking time to celebrate the successes is something probably we don't do as much as we should, because I don't know, I think it's human nature to just focus on the negative for some reason. It's just something that people do. Well, I know I do, even though I'm quite strong-willed and try and tell myself, like, that's ridiculous. But sometimes you just can't help it. So I think celebrate the successes, and really taking this into consideration about how this feedback will help you refine your approach for future events, whether it be just for the concert or recital, or whether it be for other events. And then again, if you have a place where you're recording all your process and systems, take that back, make notes for next year, you know, adjust due dates and things like that, so that you are working more efficiently and from a more stress-free place moving forward. Anything about that, Mariah, that you want to?
No, I think that's pretty much like covered everything that I was thinking, and I definitely agree with you on celebrating the successes as well as trying to improve year to year, because you do such a great job and you put in so much work. So you should definitely be celebrating that and celebrating another year of you in business with your studio. So I think that was all very helpful tips, and hopefully our listeners can take something on board from that.
Amazing. Just a reminder again that we have a masterclass coming up all about concert planning on September the 5th, and that is about how to reduce overwhelm, you know, save time, streamline everything, just basically have the smoothest concert or recital possibly ever. And that is on September the 5th, and you can find more info about that at assemblydancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. You can buy that as a one-off attendee, or again, a big thank you to all of our masterclass members who are joining us every single month to jump into a particular topic that I am passionate about and I know is providing a lot of value and content for, I would say, very reasonable price. So you can check out all of that on the website. But thank you so much for joining me today, Mariah.
No worries.
And thank you so much for listening, guys. It was wonderful speaking with you again today, and I look forward to speaking with you soon. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Assemblé Dance Studio Coaching Podcast with your host, me, Claire O'Shea. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it on your stories on Instagram and tag the show, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Assemblé Dance Studio Coaching. Tune in next week for another episode all about helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully, so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. See you then.